gay is not sin. Jesus is asking the gay person to change and be straight. That's right. Nowhere in the scripture does it condemn gays. Here I am in Dachau, can't pronounce it, Germany, near Munich, about 20 kilometers away. And I just got through, spent a couple hours going through this entire camp. Gay is not sin, and Jesus isn't asking the gay person to change and be straight. Well, I'm walking downtown Hsinchu in Taiwan.
Hi. Gay is not sin, and Jesus isn't asking the gay person to change and be straight.
Hi. Gay is not sin, and Jesus isn't asking the gay person to change and be straight.
Well, now I'm heading back to my car. Just remember, gay is not sin, and Jesus isn't asking me to change, or anybody that is gay. And that's the street to my car.
Hi. Gay is not sin. Jesus is not asking the gay person to change. He's straight. Hi there. Bet you can't guess where I'm at. Anyway, just wanted to tell you, gay is not sin, and Jesus isn't asking the gay person to change. He's straight. I am in Notre Dame. Remember, gay is not sin. Jesus isn't asking a gay person to change and be straight. Anyway, remember, gay is not sin. And Jesus is not asking a gay person to change and be straight.
Yep, here I am. Oh, by the way, gay is not sin. And Jesus isn't asking a gay person to change and be straight.
If you don't know Jesus, turn to him and say, Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. Forgive me of my sins and come into my life.
So gay is for Jesus coming to you from St. Peter's chair in the St. Peter's Basilica in the Vatican. As I said earlier, gay is not sin, and Jesus is not asking the gay person to change and be straight. Hey people, Jesus is about to return, and part of the things that indicate it when Jesus is about to return is that lots of things will happen, and these things just are not fly-by-night situation. It took a long time. In fact, what I always say is it took about 5,000 years. There's complicated things that goes back even thousands of years more. We got to take into account perhaps some of the science of showing that the Earth is 4 billion years old might be questionable, and it may be something that God did to prepare everything. And I find stuff that indicates there was something before Adam and Eve, that God was very active in those days and basically destroyed life on all the other planets in our solar system, and some survivors. One of the ways he destroyed life on Earth was the flood that was here before Adam. You know, the world was covered in water. Then he rose, made land, made fishes and bushes, and then finally, he made Adam and Eve. The word for rib, by the way, means cell from that rib, DNA, genes, and so forth. God took a rib out of Adam, took a cell out of the rib, and with the DNA, manipulated it to create woman. That is what the Hebrew word says. There is a word that would have meant just simply rib. Both words are used in the Bible a couple of times. And the one that's used in creating Adam and Eve is a word that represents, in our best language today, that means most accurately what it is a cell. Anyway, so then God, Adam and Eve sinned and off into the world without the garden. Ancient writings that that was used as Bible for centuries by Christians, said that Adam and Eve experienced quite a change in their living conditions. Life as they knew it changed. Suddenly, there was the sun and moon. It was hot and it was cold and rainy and they had to do something to make clothes and things like that, keep warm, figure out how to live. You know, it used to be they just go pick food off of trees and bushes, and of course they made that mistake of eating the wrong one. Of course they were told not to, but Satan said, go ahead, can't hurt you. Well, that of course put the curse on man, so that he has to work for a living. So when you're working really, really hard, and you're thinking that's a great sign of you're a really good person because you are decent folk working for a living, just remember that's a curse that was put on at the time that Adam and Eve were kicked out of the garden. Lots of people in here, as you can see, zooming all by me. So, and there was more curses that God put on man. Man would think he's the boss of woman, and woman would hurt when she has a baby, and weeds would grow on the ground, make it really tough to work. And so I'll move out of the way, people taking pictures. So I got to they had to work, and then you know, they had babies, and you know, one of them killed the other, and you know the story. And so he was kind of kicked out, and he went off and couldn't grow anything anymore. So he invented things. He built cities and so forth. You know, the Bible just right away, he's building cities. You can't have a city without people. So where'd the people come from? So this must have been hundreds of years going by before he actually can build cities. Because, you know, with Adam and Eve popping babies out, it's going to still take a while before there's a population enough that you can have a city. I don't know, you know, somebody can do the math and figure out how two people can multiply. And one of them was kicked out, somehow ended up with a wife anyway. And another was killed. And so we finally got another one that finally started the population business. Of course, we know that there was supposed to be no other people, no other women, no other men anywhere. You had angels and demons, basically. And so you know, you had babies with your brothers and sisters. Now, there's a lot of confusion, you know. Some people like to make the Bible really simple, but it's really technical, really hard sometimes to figure out, you know, how do we get all this stuff? And some people want to say that these previous survivors before Adam and Eve of all the planets came down and had their way with what women there were, and or vice versa, you know, there's women survivors too that came down, had their way with the men or Cain or somebody, you know. And that's but the Bible doesn't say that. The Bible just simply says that Cain went out, he had a wife, so that must have been Adam and Eve had a daughter, and maybe she went wild and then went over and married Cain and raised some Cain. Or Cainettes or Cain, you know. But anyway, you can play with that all you want. So he went out and built things. Music was pretty bad in the beginning because everybody enjoyed it. And the crowd of God, as it were, because everybody was God, because you start out with Adam and Eve and Cain went off. And so you had the group expanding of God, which was, of course, you know, Adam's other descendants were pretty faithful. But then Cain, as he built his cities and his fun life, music and comfort of living in cities and so forth, more and more of the, as it were, good people of the people that stuck with Adam started going over to Cain. You know, you get some books that are used as Bible for a long time. There's nothing particularly to prove them wrong, and there's nothing particularly to prove them right. Some scholars like to guess. They say somebody needed to figure out how to fit in all the pieces that didn't make sense. But then you got the facts that back in those days you were closer to the story. Maybe they had some facts, but being closer to the story doesn't make you're closer to the facts, because a lot of scholars also like to say that Nineveh or whatever had a writing about the flood, and they want to go by that because it's a lot older than Moses' writing. And they don't even want to mention the fact that God told Moses. So it doesn't matter how old anything is, if God spoke personally to Moses how it was, and that's the way it is. The book of Nineveh had already a thousand years to hand-me-down stories before they were able to do any writing. And it's actually, you know, you try to put a crowd in a room and you tell one person something, and then that person whispers into the next person's ear and so forth to the other side of the room. You have a totally different story at the other side of the room. So Nineveh's story already has got flaws in it. I mean, even though they kept stories real good, they still were close enough to the beginning. Their memory systems work very well. You know, today, you can start getting to 40 and your mind goes to pot. When you get old like me, in my 60s, you're lucky to remember anything sometimes. I'm just kidding, you know, but back in them days, you did a pretty good job at remembering stuff you're told. So we'd guess. Anyway, there's a lot of good stories out there. Nothing to say they're right, nothing to say they're wrong, but they make a lot of sense. And they seem to be used as gospel by Christians for centuries. And now we just like to say they're just the lost books or the forgotten books or other stuff that you shouldn't take much heed in. However, you need to read a lot to find out a lot of stuff, and this type of stuff indicates that perhaps there were some other beings that God had Satan make, as the story goes, and since God didn't like what they did, destroyed the planets. Now we have NASA sending stuff up to all the planets and moons and everything. We see something looking like that, how the land used to be something that possibly could have been alive and now is destroyed. And so, you know, interesting stuff maybe to some. Other people don't want to fiddle with it. But the thing is, there is a lot to life that you have to look for to find. And so people turn to Cain, and Cain invented things. People went to Cain. Finally, there's nobody really left. Enoch took off to heaven. He was in good shape. Adam and Eve finally died in their 900s, and they kept their bones someplace. Noah was finally told to build a boat. He was in his hundreds. His kids helped him build it. Everybody laughed at him. Sure enough, it rained, and everybody died. So that only left Noah and his three sons and their three wives. So the whole world's supposed to have just these number of people. And so, by then, though, the rules were you can have sex with your cousin, marry them, but you, your sisters and stuff, and brothers, is a no-no now. It used to be yes, yes. The only way to populate the world is have sex with your brother and sister. And so now you have enough cousins that you can populate the world slowly, but it'll start quickening up with cousins. Later on, you things were gotten going good, and finally the law was started. Moses gave the law and everything. Now they had real good rules. They had to be distant cousins, but in the same tribe. Once you had the tribes, you have to marry in between the tribes, but they have to be in the same tribe. But they also brought foreigners and all that kind of stuff, and they got incorporated into whatever tribe they got incorporated into. But still through this time, we have hints in the Bible, very vague. It's almost, you can't make anything of it. And so you take all this with a grain of salt, with the keen interest that it certainly would explain some things. And if we go by a lot of other people that say they have contacts with certain beings and so forth, we can laugh at them, or we can say, you know, the story's pretty consistent. And even though it's not something to make Bible out of, it's just something to ponder and keep your minds aware that these all are things that will affect your life very soon. Many of the stuff has already affected your life, and you will, your life is even going to change even more. I guess there's something down in that hole down there. You can walk around down in there. Yes, I don't. At least there's something down there. Anyway, so the story goes, and then we got the Masons. They say they trace their roots back to after the boat landed on Mount Ararat, and the sons and Noah, sons of Noah, and Noah came out with their wives, and began. Where am I going now? Began to multiply. We know for a fact in the Bible that one of Noah's sons sinned. I think he saw his father's nakedness or something like that. That's how the story goes. Anyway, so he became the black sheep. Bible's not clear if he was absolutely forgiven or if he had a resentment because he was now the black sheep of the family. And lots of people get away. And how you doing? Getting the high sign here. Group going by me here. Or maybe it was one of Noah's sons. And anyway, whatever one finally decided they wanted to keep the secrets, because, you know, Noah and his sons were pretty much photographic memory, you know, after all, they lived in that first 1,000 years. And they knew about places that they keep the knowledge at. Some people kind of think that it was even way before horse and buggy days, if it wasn't even caveman days or something, for Adam and Eve and that first 1,000 years, like there could be no technology. You know, you think about it for a minute. You got human beings, can't really forget anything. I mean, you have to just kind of think about it. If you're perfect, basically, you just came out of the garden, and your body got messed up a little because you come out of the garden, but you're still pretty close to the beginning because you can still live 1,000 years. So here you are living 1,000 years. You learn everything everybody else knows. That's what people do. We like to learn, and we learn. And after all, Cain went out and invented things, made cities and everything. You have to invent a lot of stuff to make a city. Now, we might want to make the city look like something pretty simple, but we got some pretty remarkable, pretty simple cities, huh? That are 5,000 years old or more. And then you can get into the thing that some people believe that first 1,000 years was more like Atlantis. Well, Atlantis may go back a little bit further. Atlantis might be more into the likings of the people that lived before Adam and Eve. However, then you'd have to say, well, how did the what's his name get the information to tell the story of the of how Atlantis was destroyed and sank into the sea? Again, we, like I said, we had survivors, and they come out and they tell us their survival story and about the collapse of the Atlantis. So, I mean, it's fun. You can figure out all kinds of stuff, try to figure out the possibilities of what happened. But we, still, you know, the most important things as a Christian, you have to found yourself in the Bible. So no matter how much carried away you get in all these exciting things that people are discovering, or they're guessing, or they're finding artifacts or trying to prove, you got to just remember, it's got to be confirmed in the Bible. Otherwise, it's a story that may or may not be true. The Bible tells us we got to believe in truth. It doesn't mean you have to follow some truth, because some truth are things of Satan, and which are true and factual and everything, but that doesn't mean you go and start worshiping Satan. But it means that when you're deciding your life, you what's all these things look like? Candles. They are candles. Then go down some stairs here. So they're just for good stories, and we get a lot of stuff that like I said, they had the secrets, and they say there's libraries around. Masons got a hold of this information, and so that 5,000 year period up to now is a time of development, and this building here that we're in is deeply entrenched in the way and things we believe today. And this building here represents, plus all the surrounding area, vast control of the world, much more control than just kind of guiding the Catholics along. It's wars are decided here. They got ambassadors to different countries that says to presidents when they can are authorized to have a war and when not. Bush doesn't just go to war with Iraq. This place here had to say yes. Of course, the bishop that does that is in Chicago or Pennsylvania, someplace over there. That bishop is the one that is the ambassador of war or whatever for the Vatican. You got to get approval of this. Now, the Vatican isn't the ruling body, though many would like to think so. The Pope has to take orders. And it all goes back down, basically, the Masons. And they're an elite group that nobody knows. They're way up there high. And they got to be... and you're not going to ever know who they are. They're going to be the higher-ups in the Antichrist kingdom. And they pass down the orders to get things moved out and going for Antichrist kingdom. And get over here, look, see what's down here. Yeah, I can't see very good. Get a better picture later on. So there's a lot of history in here. At one time, this facility here, Vatican, invented Islam. And they had a reason for it. Talk about that in other episodes of my program. Trying to get over here, get a look down in this stairway that is not available. It says Confessio Sancti Petri or something. I guess that's where. Oh, okay, so that's what he is. I saw a chair like that. So, that's what down there. See if I can see anything down there. I guess not. So, anyway, but I did see that chair thing over here. About out of time here. So, main thing, what I want to instill in your mind, that there's a lot of things happening, and life as you know it is about to change. And see, there's that little chair that was over there. I thought in the beginning that that might be the thing. I'm either, don't know if that's the original chair or whatever. One of that chair, either the one way down there, the huge fancy one, or this one right here. That's the one that has the name Allah written under the bottom, which would be a great one if they ever revealed that. It'd be a great scandal. Both Islam and Vatican, if they released or somehow the some facts got out, they'd both be instantly crashed in a single day. But anyway, a lot of people here. I'm glad I'm about done here so I can move on. If you don't know Jesus right now, turn to him and say, Jesus, I believe that you're the Son of God and that Jesus rose you on the third day. You don't have to follow somebody that's been dead for 2,000 years almost and follow the leaders that came after him. You just, you and yourself to Jesus. Ask Jesus to baptize you in the Holy Spirit. Read the King James Bible. And if you got any place that hurts, put your hand on that spot. In the name of Jesus, be healed. See you next week. Yeah.